6:07 your time. Let's get you caught up on local news. And our top story today is a major one in Chapel Hill. After 9 long years and 9 long days, Chapel Hill police on Thursday announced they have finally arrested a suspect for the murder of UNC student Faith Hedgepeth in her apartment in September of 2012. Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue made the long-awaited announcement at Town Hall on a cloudy afternoon.
9 years and 9 days. 9 years and 9 days ago, tragedy struck this community, our community. Chapel Hill police officers responded to a heartbreaking scene, one where a promising young life had been ended way too early. I know it has been extremely difficult for Faith Hedgepeth's family, friends, and community as the days, the weeks, the months, and the years have passed to hear over and over that we had not yet made an arrest. And throughout this investigation, as the anniversary of Faith's death would come and go, we promised to protect important details about this case and our investigation and keep them close to the vest so that when the time was right, we could present a strong case to the district attorney's office. We asked you to trust us. We promised you that we would one day make an arrest. And today we can report that we're making good on that promise.
Faith Hedgepeth was a UNC student and an active member of not only the campus community, but also the Haliwasaponi tribe. She was studying to become a pediatrician. Assistant Police Chief Salisa Lehue has been the lead investigator on the case for years, and it was her job on Thursday to announce the name of the suspect in custody.
Today is an important day as we announce that we have arrested Miguel Enrique Salguero Olivares, age 28, of Durham. The arrest was made this morning without incident with the assistant of the State Bureau of Investigations. He's been charged with first-degree murder of Faith Danielle Hedgepeth on September 17, 2012. He's currently in the Durham County Jail under no bond. We have fielded many interviews from the media in the past 9 years about this case, and in each of those interviews, I have said that there is not a day that goes by that I don't think about Faith and how to help bring justice to Faith and her family. I wish I could have met her under much different circumstances. I've learned so much about Faith, her bright, infectious personality, the reasons why she had so many friends and knew so many people around Chapel Hill. Her legacy lives on through all the lives that she touched. Roland, Connie, Rolanda, and family, I now carry a piece of Faith with me. Please know that while she's gone, she's not forgotten. As Chief Blue alluded to, this investigation is not complete. Our work is not done. We will continue to work this case until every lead has been extinguished and any parties that have a role in or knowledge of this tragedy are brought to justice.
Details still light as the investigation is still going on. Police are not revealing any significant details beyond the name of the suspect. And that includes any details about his relationship with Hedgepeth, if indeed they had any. Also on hand were numerous officials with the justice system, including SBI Director Robert Schirmeier, Durham County DA Satana DeBerry, and North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein, who discussed the role that DNA evidence played in making the arrest.
Today's important announcement proves the power of partnership, persistence, and the potency of DNA. I remember seeing an interview with Chief Blue a few years ago in which he said he was 100% certain that arrest would be made in Faith's case. I am grateful for his confidence and the dedication of him and his department. Police detectives and SBI agents conducted thousands of interviews and spent countless hours in this case, never giving up, always fighting for Faith and her family. I thank every member of law enforcement who worked this case. I'd also like to thank my team at the State Crime Lab. I'm joined here with Director Vanessa Martinucci of the Crime Lab. Vanessa, her predecessor, John Byrd, and the scientists who are dedicated have worked closely with law enforcement on this case. Erin Ermish was our lead forensic biology analyst, but she was not alone. 12 other analysts also worked this case. Over the years, they worked 53 submissions of evidence from the case and analyzed 229 different samples to rule out suspects. And yesterday, with a sample provided by law enforcement of the suspect, the state crime lab generated a match to a DNA profile created or derived from the original crime scene. As a result, an arrest nearly a decade in the making has been made. This case underscores the importance of DNA. That's why we are working hard to test the thousands of untested sexual assault kits in local law enforcement custody across North Carolina.
Faith's parents, Roland and Connie Hedgepeth, were also on hand Thursday, along with numerous family members. Speaking to the media, Connie Hedgepeth expressed gratitude for the investigators who, like them, never gave up hope of solving the case.
When I got the news this morning, I didn't do anything but cry and thank God and praise God, because I put it in his hands and it was his timing. I don't know why it took so long, but I just know that it was him. And I just thank the Chapel Hill Police Department, the FBI, anyone that had a hand and happened to investigate this case. I just thank them for all their hard work and their labor paid off. Just when I cried, it was tears of joy. Tears of relief, knowing that someone had been arrested in her case. And I believe it's going to be hard the next months and years, maybe, for this to be resolved, but I'm praying and asking God to please let it not be too long, that everything will be revealed that happened that morning of Faith's death. So I just ask everyone to continue to keep us in your prayers and hopefully you all, or the people even that didn't know her, will always remember her. And thank you so much for everything you all have done.
That's Connie Hedgepeth speaking there. Also present were UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz, Chapel Hill Town Manager Maurice Jones, and Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, who offered a message to the greater community and a personal message for the Hedgepeth family.
Our hearts go out to Faith's parents, Connie and Roland, her siblings, her family, as they're going to go through even another journey as we go through this case. Chapel Hill loves our UNC students, and we are all heartbroken over Faith's death. We will not forget her lovely smile, her warmness, and want you to know that her life mattered. Over the past 9 years and 9 days, a great many people have contributed to keeping her story alive in hopes of finding that missing piece that could bring justice for Faith. Thousands of hours, dedicated people have poured into this case, and we're deeply grateful to everyone who had a part, the officers, the investigators, the community members, the reporters, the family, and the friends. They continued to search for an answer and never gave up. Today, with Faith in our mind, we also want to assure Carolina parents that we know you entrust us with the safety of your students when they come to Chapel Hill. We take that responsibility very seriously and are thankful to our Chapel Hill Police Department, who believe in getting out into the community and building strong connections and doing everything they can do to be the guardians of the hill. And on another note, Faith knew you loved her. She loves you, and she wishes you peace through this journey as you find the answers, and she will see you someday.
Pam Heminger speaking there. Again, the suspect in the case is 28-year-old Miguel Enrique Salguero Olivares of Durham. He's being held in the Durham County Detention Center. Police say the investigation is still ongoing. Additional leads are still being pursued, and details from the investigation are still very light. You heard Josh Stein speaking about the importance of clearing the backlog of rape kits. He said that at the press conference, but he also explicitly would not say one way or the other whether the DNA evidence in this case came from one of those rape kits. 6:17 is your time. We're going to have much more on this as it continues to develop. Again, as we heard from multiple people yesterday, the legal process has only just begun and the investigation is still ongoing. So much more on this to come, and you can get much more already on our website, chapelboro.com. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Chapel Hill Tire. The schedule is out for UNC men's basketball in the first year of the Hubert Davis era. Carolina will open its season on Tuesday, November 9th against Loyola, Maryland. And then ACC play begins early on December 5th with a road game at Georgia Tech. Home games include Virginia Tech, Virginia, Georgia Tech again, BC, NC State, Florida State, Pitt, Louisville, and Syracuse. And the Duke game in the Smith Center will be on Saturday, February 5th. Get the full schedule at GoHeels.com. Heels will wrap up the regular season at Duke and Cameron. Several games in action tonight. Carolina volleyball looking to stay unbeaten when they host Charlotte at 6 p.m. A big soccer game. Second-ranked Tar Heel women's soccer hosting fourth-ranked Duke on Dorrance Field at 7. Carolina will be without its leading scorer. Freshman forward Emily Murphy is out with an injured ankle suffered in practice earlier this week. No timetable yet for her return. And, of course, Tar Heel football is back in action tomorrow night, hosting Virginia at 7:30. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has your preview.
When the Virginia Cavaliers come to Keenan Stadium Saturday night, they will do so on a four-game winning streak against Carolina, their longest and the South's oldest rivalry since also winning four in a row between 2006 and 2009. This winning streak comes after UNC had won seven straight between 2010 and 2016. UNC head coach Mack Brown is just 3-9 all-time against Virginia in his two stints in Chapel Hill. When it comes to ending a losing streak, Brown said he remembers some advice Texas's legendary head coach Daryl Royal gave him during Brown's time with the Longhorns.
Oklahoma had beaten us four in a row, and I said, "Coach, how do you flip it? What do you do when you've lost to a team and they're on a streak? Because obviously that team gets more confidence. And your team starts tightening up trying to win because it's talked about year round." And he said, "When you're tired of hearing it and you're good enough, you'll fix it."
Virginia head coach Bronco Mendenhall is currently in his sixth season with the Cavaliers. During his time with the program, Virginia has won the ACC Coastal Division and appeared in the Orange Bowl. Brown and Mendenhall played twice when Brown was at Texas and Mendenhall was at BYU, with each coach winning once. Brown said Mendenhall has his utmost respect.
Bronco goes by the rules. He's honest. He's fair. He treats his kids nice, and still coaches them really, really hard. So I admire him and what he's done, and I admire their staff. They've done a really good job.
Mendenhall's starting quarterback Saturday night will be Brennan Armstrong, who was named to the Davey O'Brien Award's Great Eight list for Week 2, along with UNC's Sam Howell. In his first two games of 2021, Armstrong has thrown for more than 700 yards and seven touchdowns, with just one interception. Virginia has outscored its first two opponents 85-14. UNC defensive coordinator Jay Bateman, whose defense has given up just 34 points through the first two games, had high praise for Armstrong.
I think probably growing up when you played pickup basketball or backyard football or whatever sport you wanted to play, right? Probably if you picked him, your team was going to win, right? I think he's kind of that kind of guy. So, I think he's a really competitive kid. I think he does everything really well. The thing I see from him now versus when we played him a year ago is I do feel like he's got a really complete grasp of where the ball should go in the throw game.
In Virginia's 44-41 win over the Tar Heels during the 2020 season, Armstrong threw for three touchdowns and rushed for another, leading the Cavaliers to the upset. Like last season, much of Virginia's offense utilizes pre-snap movement and unique personnel packages to confuse the defense. It clearly worked for the Cavaliers in 2020, and for the Tar Heels to have more success in 2021, UNC sophomore linebacker Kamen Rucker said the defense needs to tune out all the noise.
Virginia's always been like that. They've always been lining up in some funky formations, man. And just as a defense, we just got to lock in. They give us a lot of eye candy. They give us a lot of formations, a lot of different guys in a lot of different places. They got a lot of guys lining up at quarterback and wide receiver and tight ends and all these different scenarios. But really, we just got to focus on ourselves as a defense.
Rucker and the Carolina defense have been a bright spot so far in 2021, but a hot Virginia offense presents their stiffest challenge yet. It may only be week three, but if UNC hopes to win the Coastal Division and appear in its second ever ACC championship game, a fifth straight loss to the Cavaliers and an 0-2 start in conference play is simply not an option. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Game time tomorrow is 7:30. We've got it all right here for you on 97.9 The Hill. Our coverage begins at 4:30 with Inside Carolina Live. Finally, in baseball, real quick, the Durham Bulls came back from 6 runs down to beat the Charlotte Knights last night, 8-6. With that win, the Bulls clinched the AAA Eastern League title for the 7th time in their history. That series continues tonight in Charlotte, first pitch at 7:05.